Rich, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris this hour rallying in Madison, Wisconsin.
We will win because when you know what you stand for, you know what to fight for.
Former President Trump also in Wisconsin in Green Bay.
My supporters are far higher quality than Crooked Joe or Lion Kamala. Higher quality.
Both candidates barnstorming the swing states with less than 6 days before polls open on Election Day. The conservative-leaning U.S. Supreme Court ruling Virginia is now allowed to move forward with its plan to purge around 1,600 alleged non-citizens from the voter rolls ahead of Election Day next week. Fighting intensifying in Lebanon, the Israeli military issuing a new evacuation order for residents in the city of Baalbek in eastern Lebanon. The area marked for evacuation includes the ancient Roman temple complex, inscribed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin State Superintendent Jill Underly is proposing nearly $60 million of investments to recruit and retain teachers. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, the proposal includes stipends to student teachers to cover expenses and reduce debt, along with a Grow Your Own grant program. The proposal also includes an expansion to the Peer Review and Mentoring Grant program and seeks to review the requirements for licensure to eliminate more barriers for potential teachers. Enrollment at the universities of Wisconsin has seen a solid uptick this fall, despite a significant drop in enrollment at branch campuses. Overall, UW campuses saw an increase of about 1.2% for the fall 2024 semester, equivalent to about 1,900 new students. UW-Madison has the largest enrollment as expected, with nearly 52,000 students. UW-Milwaukee was second with about 22,000, and UW-Oshkosh was third with about 13,000. The enrollment increase marks the second straight year of growth at UW schools. A Duluth man is facing multiple charges relating to an August shooting incident. According to court records, 56-year-old Andre Woods was involved in a shooting on East 3rd Street in Duluth on August 24th. According to law enforcement authorities, 10 to 12 shots were fired during the incident, and officers stopped the vehicle the wounded Woods was driving as he was heading away from the scene. The other man went to the hospital later with gunshot wounds and told authorities he and Woods had gotten into an argument before the shooting. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has significantly outraised his Democratic challenger Kyle Kilborn with just a few days left before the election. According to campaign finance reports, Tiffany has raised nearly $1.2 million through mid-October, compared to just $215,000 from Kilborn. Tiffany also reported having about $210,000 left over for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, while Kilborn reported having about $35,000 left over. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Looks like the Trump campaign stepped in it big, as we talked about with Bob Ney the other night. Couple of days till the election day, somebody could make a big mistake. Well, it looks like the Trump campaign made a big mistake by choosing a comedian to go out on stage and say some pretty extraordinary statements, some massively racist statements that you kind of go, why did they say it? Understand, you know, Puerto Rico has a lot of citizens here in the U.S., kind of a territory, if you know your math, which means they get to vote here, which means they're a pretty sizable voting bloc in Pennsylvania. So when you have a comedian going on stage saying that Puerto Rico, the place where they live, is a floating island of garbage, and that they're basically screwing the country over by populating and doing all this stuff that he said, not surprising that you have awakened a giant. And in Pennsylvania, you're talking about a very large voting bloc in places like Allentown and Reading and Easton and the eastern part of Pennsylvania. This is kind of a big deal. There were protests at the Trump rally in Allentown. They're clearly going to be much more organizing. And as one person told me, what they've done is they've awakened what was a sleeping a sleeping giant, because this group was kind of, from what I'm told, not really engaged. There was nothing there for them, as this organizer told me. This has lit the fire. Because look, when you call their home a floating island of garbage, and that they're screwing the country, when these are patriotic people, you're going to get a reaction. And I know the campaign is trying to really distance themselves from what this comedian said, but understand, every word was vetted. They don't allow you to go out on that stage and just say whatever you want to say, because it could tank your campaign. Kind of like calling Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Kind of like saying all of these people are basically screwing the country. There's going to be a backlash. And hopefully what it is the Puerto Rican community in this state decides heavily on the side of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. But more importantly, sends a clear message to the Republicans who think that this is okay, that, you know, openly racist comments at Madison Square Garden, hearkening back to the good old days of the Klan. I think that's going to get some folks' attention. I just, call me weird. I just think it will. I want to hear your thoughts. Think it's going to matter? Think this could be the decider? Did he just really screw up? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, quote of the day. Let's set this up. You got Donald Trump on a podcast with Elon Musk. You got two billionaires waxing poetic about how they're going to treat workers. And Trump, praisingly to Elon Musk, says... this is one of those things I can't believe came out of his mouth. He says, you know, Elon, you walk in, you say you want to quit, you go on strike. I won't mention the name of the company, Donald Trump says, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay. You're all gone. You're all gone. So every one of you gone. And then uproarious laughter. And this is one of those moments where, as a working person, as someone who's carried a union card in my wallet all these years, 35 years, that is a glaring, massive, enormous, gulf-size red line that no politician, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, no politician should get away with. So when I hear my general president, Sean O'Brien, saying, you know what, our members don't need to be educated. They're educated already. I gotta wonder. And here to share some thoughts on where we are and maybe some thoughts on Trump's comments. I've asked Carl Bailey to come talk with me. Carl is the president of Teamsters Joint Council 40, also secretary treasurer of Teamsters Local 205. Carl, thanks for taking time for me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thoughts on the Trump comment. I mean, right, gut reaction. What do you think when Trump says that?
Well, you asked me not to swear, and I won't do that. So I think, well, listen, I'll quote Sean O'Brien on that one. It's my understanding Sean O'Brien quoted him as being an economic terrorist when that happened.
He didn't name him directly. He said, you know, this is economic terrorism. He didn't name him directly.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I was actually in Boston when it happened. So I never saw the quote live.
Right, but for me, Carl, here's the thing. And
yes, sir.
The gut reaction I've got is this is the red line. The right to strike, the right to have that arrow in the quiver in the unhopeful necessary moment that you need it is the glaring red line. You cannot under any way, shape, or form justify saying firing striking workers is okay and get my vote ever.
I agree with you.
So, again, for me, this should have been the day the endorsement came. It didn't. There has been no endorsement. So I'm curious your thoughts of when President O'Brien goes on Neil Cavuto's show on Fox News and says that our members don't need to be educated. They're educated enough. You know, I got to tell you, this is one of those moments that education is desperately needed because, one, your members need to know Trump said that. And two, you kind of understand why the right to strike is so important. So how do you take this moment and move forward on that, given the two positions?
Well, as I said earlier, Rick, I have to disagree with Sean O'Brien. I mean, I'm not going to quote why he does it, what he does. I'm guessing he has his reasons. But I disagree. I think our members do need to be educated. They need to know what's going on around the country. Not just watching these stupid ads and commercials and saying how wonderful Donald Trump is. I could sit here, your show's not long enough for me to sit here and say all the bad things about Donald Trump and why I will never support him. But I think our members do need to be educated. And if you'd like me to, I could go into some of the education I think they need to know.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is what I'm hoping you're doing. I'm hoping you're out there on the doors and on the phone saying, look, this is how bad the 4 years of Donald Trump was.
Listen, when Donald Trump was president, the Supreme Court pushed through, they did away with a 45-year precedent in the Abood case, and they pushed through what is now known as the Janus decision. That Janus decision basically made public employees nationwide right to work. I think your hope was that if members did not have to pay union dues, they'd say, fine, we're not going to pay union dues. We're going to leave our union. And that way, basically, that would bankrupt all the unions. Well, that didn't happen. Our membership, I think nationwide of the Teamsters, may have grown a little bit after that happened. There were locals, there were public employees out there at the Pittsburgh Labor Day parade. The utility workers were walking with big signs. I stand by my union. And it was a good thing. Did we lose a little bit of membership at my local? We did. But we're constantly growing. We're constantly organizing. I think we've made up for that over time. And we're going to continue to try and organize.
Right. Now, again, I go back to those 4 years under Trump, and you as a labor leader, you were intimately involved with all of the decisions that came out of Trump's NLRB, all of the things that happened with Trump's labor board, all of the things that members don't spend a lot of time on, that we look to our leadership. We look to Carl Bailey. We look to Sean O'Brien for the information that we need that we're not intimately involved in and that our mainstream corporate-controlled media doesn't tell us. So this idea that you don't need to educate your members, well, it seems like failed, flawed leadership to me. And I don't want to belabor the point that I think President O'Brien has failed us on this, but I do think getting the point out that just how bad Donald Trump was and remind people of how bad he was, I think that's important.
It is important. And like I said, he pushed the Janus decision through. We survived that. I think if he gets reelected, he's going to try to take it one step further. I think they're just going to try and just completely eliminate public sector bargaining laws. Like I said, there are a number of states around the United States right now where it's illegal to bargain.
Yeah.
And if you tell our members that, my local, I represent over 50 police departments. And when I tell local police officers that there are police departments where it's illegal to bargain a contract, when I first tell them that, it's hard for them to grasp. They're like, what do you mean? They said, that'll never happen here. We have Act 111 in Pennsylvania. We have Act 600. I said, you understand those acts could go away tomorrow. If you remember when Ronald Reagan was president, he fired 12,000 air traffic controllers with the swipe of a pen. That can all happen tomorrow. All those rights can go away tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. because that firing of the Patco workers, one of the people who was instrumental in that decision and making that happen was a guy named Peter Robb, who just happened to be Trump's general counsel of Trump's National Labor Relations Board, just to kind of put the cherry on top of the horrible sundae that Donald Trump got us during his years. But here's the thing. I think it goes even further than that, because the Teamsters, and I think this is a great thing that Sean O'Brien and Randy Corrigan and the rest of the folks are doing, they're organizing Amazon. As we speak, they're going after these DSP drivers. They're bringing people together. They're holding events nationwide, all under the idea that the joint employer rule is going to remain. Those of us who remember the Trump years remember what Donald Trump did to that very rule, don't we?
Yes. Like I said, this stuff could all change tomorrow, Rick. I mean, Donald Trump, and I'm just going to go into some of the things he did, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And I'll give him credit. He did restructure NAFTA. He reworked that deal, which was beneficial to unions. But other than that, when he come on, I'm going to give tax cuts to Americans. He gave tax cuts to the general public that lasted 5 years, which would have lasted the first year into his second term, which I think he had some forethought. I'll get elected a second time, and then that tax cut will go away, which will hurt people. I won't be able to get reelected again, which that's another whole area, because now he says he can run 3 terms, 4 terms. We may never have to have another president because he's going to become king, and we won't have elections anymore. But, and forgive me, I may get off topic because I start talking about him, and I just want to go on a rant and say all the evil things he did. I mean, the guy tried to overthrow our own government. You want me to just keep talking, Rick, or you want to?
No, look, at the end of this, Carl, you know, you're the one who's educating your members on what's important. I'm with you. I understand what came out of his NLRB. I understand what the Supreme Court did and what a Trump support Supreme Court is going to do in the future. I've talked extensively about the idea that we're going to return to the Lochner era, where government does nothing to protect workers, does nothing to enforce a minimum wage or maximum hour laws. You know, this idea of returning to the Lochner era is something that's been on the conservatives' mind for decades. This idea of desperate workers, easily abused workers, that's their wet dream. So when I see the Commonwealth Foundation, a right-wing think tank here in Pennsylvania, coming out and saying Sean O'Brien did the right thing by not endorsing, I'm curious why a right-wing think tank would side with that, other than that they know a split in the House of Labor, division in the world of labor, is only good for someone like Donald Trump, and it normalizes how bad his behavior and his policies were for working people.
Yeah, well, it's my understanding, and like I said, Sean O'Brien did not endorse anybody. I have a lot of Republican friends who were calling me the night that he was on the Republican convention, saying how wonderful that was. And I'll be honest with you, the speech he gave, I think by the end of the night, Trump and Vance were looking at each other saying, what did he just say?
No, I don't think they cared. At the end of the day, Carl, I don't think they cared what he said. I agreed with about 2/3 of his speech. The fact is now people remember he was there. And the fact that he was there understanding what a convention is, it's about getting their candidate elected. All that's a tacit endorsement in my view. And he didn't go after Donald Trump's record. He just said Republicans have been bad. And that, again, normalizes just how bad Donald Trump was.
Well, it is my understanding that Sean O'Brien has since, and I haven't talked to him personally, but I trust Billy Hamilton, the PA conference president. I trust Billy immensely. We're friends. And he tells me that Sean O'Brien has given his blessing to every local and joint council to endorse whoever they want.
And that's a good thing. Look, at the end of this, you most certainly need to have that kind of behavior. Because that, you know, you got to bail yourself out somehow. And the locals, I think we're going to do that anyway. So that's just blessing you to do what you were going to do. Because your joint council, as I understand it, was the first in the country or one of the very first in the country to come out and endorse Harris and Walz without a blessing, as my understanding goes.
Yeah, you're correct.
So now taking this and moving it forward, because ultimately what I do want to get to is, You know, what are you hearing from your members as you're out there knocking on the doors, as you're holding meetings, as you're holding rallies? What feedback are you getting when you say, hey, this is how bad he was? And on the flip side, this is how incredibly great Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been. They saved your pensions. They CMEX decision. You know, we can go down the list of the things that have been very positive. Reinstating the joint employer rule, which the Teamsters are organizing under. There has been so much good. The best presidency of my lifetime for organized labor. And to have a union not endorse is weird. So what are your members, what feedback are you giving when you present this stuff?
Well, it all depends on who I'm talking to, Rick. Like I said, I represent an awful lot of law enforcement.
Right.
And I have law enforcement who might be some of the highest paid on the Eastern Seaboard. The majority of my police officers tend to be Republican. I have talked to them. I had just got done negotiating a contract for a little municipality where they make pretty good money. We just negotiated a five-year deal. I took my bargaining committee to lunch, and one of my members spoke up and he says, hey, I see your general president was on the Republican convention and he didn't endorse Trump. We think that's good for Republicans. And I said, well, maybe you guys haven't heard, but I'm the president of our joint council and we endorsed Kamala Harris. And they looked at me and they're like, well, why would you do that? You know, the FOP endorsed Trump also. I said, yeah, and I can't understand that. I cannot understand how the FOP endorsed this guy. I said, first off, you have a convicted felon versus a former prosecutor. I think as law enforcement, you should lean towards a prosecutor. On January 6th, I had some minor surgery done on January 3rd. January 6th was my final day of recovery. I was sitting at home. My wife only works Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Wednesday, she's at home cleaning house. I'm watching TV. I said, you know what? I'm going to put on this Electoral College, which I'll be honest with you, I hate watching politics on TV. I said, I'm going to put it on to see if anything happens. I put it on just in time. I see Ted Cruz's speech. I believe Mitch McConnell's speech. I see Trump in the mall at Washington telling people to go down there and protest. And then I watched my whole world, which I thought was the most embarrassing, it might be the most embarrassing moment in our country's history. I watched people using American flags to break windows out of the Capitol, to beat police officers with American flags. People were like, oh, well, you know, he told them to go down there peaceably. Okay, even if you believe that, why did he let them march on the Capitol and beat on people for 3 hours before he called anybody in? And then when he did call them in and he got on TV finally and told people to go home, he's telling them, oh, you're all special people. I love you. Thank you. Go home. You know, there's five people that are dead because of his actions on January 6th. One of his supporters got shot in the neck.
Yeah.
Ask Trump if he even remembers her name. She's dead. Two police officers died as a result of their injuries on that day. Two more committed suicide within a day shortly afterwards. So there's five people that are dead because of his actions on January 6th.
Yeah.
Look how many Capitol Police officers have come out and decided to run for Congress and things of that nature, run for public office because they can't stand him and they want to go against them. It's a shame. I mean, if a police officer gets killed at a little municipality, those officers, they're out searching until they get the actor that caused that officer's death. They show up at every stage of the criminal proceeding, the trial, everything. They want to see that person prosecuted and either put to death or put in prison for the rest of their lives. To this day, nobody's been held accountable for the deaths of those police officers or anybody else on January 6th. And Trump has said that if he gets reelected, he's going to pardon everybody that marched on the Capitol. And then I hear people saying, oh, yeah, but Nancy Pelosi didn't want the National Guard brought in. Nancy Pelosi was hiding in fear of her life, as was everybody else in the Senate and on Congress that day. They were all hiding. If you looked at Mitch McConnell's interview the day of or the day after, all the Republicans shortly afterwards were against Trump. They admitted that the Democrats had won the election.
Yep.
And it was wrong for what he did. No, talk to those same ones today. Oh, that didn't happen. It wasn't the way you guys look at it. People were dead.
Right. No, and this is why, you know, I think getting out and doing this education, getting out and talking to people and reminding them, it's easy to have historical amnesia. It's easy to have some rewriting of history, especially when you've got a corporate-controlled mainstream media pushing the narrative. But understand what that day was about. It was titled Stop the Steal. They knew what they were going there for. They knew what their mission was, and they almost succeeded. And this is where I give Mike Pence the ultimate credit. In, you know, saying we're going to get this done regardless of when it takes, even if we got to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. So in that moment, good on him. So the question that I bring back to this, because, you know, ultimately, as the leader of your joint council, the leader of Local 205 out in the western part of Pennsylvania, it is about getting members mobilized. It's getting them out to vote, but it's also getting the information that they need. So, you know, your part of the state is going to be crucial in which direction Pennsylvania goes, which every pundit says the Keystone State is the keystone to this election. What kind of feeling are you getting at this moment? We're a little under a week out. What kind of sense are you getting? Because look, I think the Teamsters endorsement is a big deal in this state where labor still has some clout. So I'm curious what your gut feeling is at this moment.
Rick, I have mixed feelings. I like to think it's going extremely well for the Harris administration. I phone banked 3 weekends in a row. I plan on doing something else this weekend. And during my phone banking, I told the gentleman whose computer I was using, because it's a program now, it dials the numbers for you and gets union people.
Right.
Up until my last weekend of doing it, everybody I talked to was pro-Harris. I had talked to Republicans who admitted they supported Trump in the past. Their words were, I can't support that nut. I'm not going to support him. He's an idiot. Up until the last day, I had one person who I called. I asked to speak to the person I called. They were unavailable, but I spoke to either the father or father-in-law. And his words to me were, listen, I'm supporting Donald Trump. There's nothing you could say to change my mind, and I don't want to talk to you. And he hung up the phone. And that's the response you get from Republicans, because they're not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
If you could, I actually think if you could sit down, because there's a lot of very educated people that are supporting Trump, and it boggles my mind. I mean, I have an attorney who lives right behind me. I go out in my backyard and I see his Trump flying in his backyard. You're an educated guy. How can you support this guy? Well, on January 6th, only day in our nation's history, the Confederate flag was ever inside our nation's capital. They defecated on Nancy Pelosi's desk. If they could have got a hold of Nancy Pelosi because they were threatening to kill her, they'd have killed her, they'd have killed Trump.
Anyone with a congressional pen.
You've heard the interviews where they said, Mr. President, they're 40 feet away from Mike Pence. His life is in danger. He said, so what? So what? If he doesn't care about his vice president, what makes you think he cares about you or me?
There you go.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
Right there. Right there.
I make a pretty good living, Rick. I couldn't get into Mar-a-Lago to save my life. Not that I want to go there. But he doesn't want people like me and you in his... He wants millionaires. He wants the extremely wealthy, the extremely elite. He doesn't care about me and you. He doesn't. And I'm convinced of that. If you look at some of the programs and... I haven't read all of Project 2025 it's got multiple names now. The 180-day playbook, Act 47. Act 47 seems appropriate because that's what bankrupt communities are in Pennsylvania. They're Act 47. I think that's the way he'll take our country is we'll be bankrupt, and he just wants to be a king. So, I mean, remember his last term. His big goal was to get his face on Mount Rushmore.
We're going to get his face on something. That is clear. But Carl, I appreciate the time, the passion. I know you got a lot of work to do between now and Election Day. Keep making those phone calls. Keep knocking on the doors. Keep doing that educating. I appreciate the time, though. Thanks so much.
Rick, let me say one thing in closing. And listen, I've said the guy's, I think he's a bully. He's a bully who's never been in a fight in his life because money's bought his way out of everything. He's a habitual liar. And he's a con man. Don't let don't let him con you out of your vote, please. People have no, they can't grasp how important this election is. I've been told since I've been a Teamster, and I've only been a Teamster for 25 years, how this is the most important election of our lifetime. This one is.
This one is.
This Amen. One is. Trump has been quoted as saying, elect him. You'll never have to worry about another election. We can't live our lives like this.
I'm with you from your words. Carl,
thank you.
Appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. Carl Bailey, president of Teamsters Joint Council 40. I do find it interesting. He said he doesn't want to go to Mar-a-Lago. I don't either. But sadly, Sean O'Brien was there. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something in your mind, hit me up. And hey, you've been hearing from your local unions? You've been hearing, you know, the good work that labor does? I want to hear what they're saying. Back after this.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers tonight, rain and snow tomorrow morning, snow showers tomorrow afternoon, and breezy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight into the 30s tomorrow. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-40s Friday to the mid-50s Saturday. Chance of rain late Saturday night and Sunday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I'm thrilled to talk to my next guest because a guy, friend of the show for years, when he was a state rep here in my state of Pennsylvania, also was the auditor general who, you know, he's the bookkeeper who went after all the tax cheats and all the people screwing up and holding people accountable. One of the most transparent, one of the best auditor generals that I can remember. And now he's running for attorney general. And what we've learned over the last couple of years, just how important the attorney generals are in our states, given the fact that we may have the Mango Mussolini as our president down the line, going to need someone standing up for we the people. And that's why I've asked my good friend Eugene DePasquale to come share some thoughts. He is a candidate here in Pennsylvania for the attorney general spot. Eugene, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks for having me, and sorry for the voice, but getting close to the end of the campaign here.
You know, look, yeah, I'm sure you're out there, you know, knocking on doors, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing all that.
It's obviously kissing the babies is totally consensual, but you know.
Of course, obviously. But, you know, here's the thing. This is a big race. This is an important race. And I think over the last several years, we've learned just how important attorneys generals are, haven't we?
It's about protecting all of our rights. It's about protecting reproductive freedom, protecting the rights of working men and women, labor unions, certainly our environment, and taking on these crooks that are trying to scam us from corporate America to all these people trying to text us and all that other stuff. It's about that. And certainly one of the issues that I'm sure we're going to get into is about protecting our democracy as well.
And our right to vote. Look, I have a lot of red hat wearing friends who are very concerned that there will be election theft. And I got to tell you, what I'm worried about is, you know, here in this state, the people we found who were cheating were wearing the red hats. So someone who's going to be looking at the law and enforcing it equally, wouldn't it be great to get back to a period where we just followed the law?
Look, the reality is people have the right to vote for who they want to, as long as they're obviously registered to vote and they're legally allowed to cast that ballot. And I'm against voter suppression across the board. It shouldn't be done by anybody. Certainly we're seeing it more on one side than the other. But what you're referring to is we need to let the voters have their say. And as Attorney General, my job is to make sure registered voters who legally cast that ballot get their votes counted, and then upholding Pennsylvania law so that the person the voters wanted to have win is actually the declared winner, not the lawyers in D.C.
No, and for me, it's pretty simple. You guys are the ones who are the arbiter of the law and hoping that we and enforcing that. For me, I look at this as just a working class guy going, I want somebody I trust. And look, you're somebody who has served this state very well on the state level as auditor general, on the regional level as a state representative. You've got a strong track record. Is that message getting out?
100%. Look, this is Pennsylvania is a close state. It's a tough battleground. We certainly see, in every race, it's going to be close. You know, we believe I'd rather be me than my opponent, feel that we've got a small lead. But look, I'm just out here over the next 8 days, like I have been for the last 18 months, talking about my record of protecting Pennsylvanians, my record of getting, finding the 3,000 untested rape kits and getting those rapists off the street. My investigation had found 58,000 unanswered phone calls to the child abuse hotline, and even my work lowering prescription drug prices in Pennsylvania. That's the type of attorney general the people of Pennsylvania want.
No, absolutely. And all those issues get lost, don't they? When it becomes all about just ensuring that people can vote, that seems to be the what sucks all the oxygen out of the room. But there's so many other things.
There's no question that when you're running in a cycle that also has a presidential election, whether it's my race or some of these other legislative races, it's tough to crack through. There's no question. That's why I come on shows like yourself. Look, we do the paid television commercials. We do that stuff. But you've got to try every single avenue to try to get your message out, because the media amount of money being spent by the U.S. Senate and presidential election in Pennsylvania, I think it's going to end up being over $1 billion.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, the amount of money is grotesque. And at some point, need to look at our election finance laws. And then we need somebody who's going to enforce that. And I come back to those issues that are important to you. Now, one of the things I loved about your website is there's a line in there that grabbed my attention. He said, you're tough. You take on tough challenges, hold each and every bully, cheat, and criminal accountable. And, that's a great bumper sticker, but it's who you are, isn't it?
Look, I have, from the time I was a little kid up until playing two sports in college, including college football, to my time as auditor general, even when I was at the Peach Bowl with my son and I saw that woman get knocked down and there was that big melee there. I'm sure you saw the video of that.
Yeah, no, good on you.
Whether it's there or my time in public life or anywhere in between, I've got no problem standing up for the people that can't stand up for themselves.
And let me ask you, because we all have our issue. We all have that. I ask the question to all candidates. What's the issue that you die on? What's that hill that you don't back away from? What issue is it that's most important to Eugene DePasquale?
Well, in this campaign, I will tell you, there's two parts. One is reproductive freedom. We had, before we had our oldest, we had an ectopic pregnancy at week 10. That procedure is now illegal in 5 states. So anyone that's coming here that needs that procedure, I'm going to stand up for their reproductive freedom. That's number one. Number two, the playing field is tilted against average, everyday working people. That's whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent. We are too much one-sided towards the corporations now. So you talk about the hill I'm going to die on. I'm going to be an attorney general that's going to fight for average, everyday Pennsylvanians against the big shots and make sure that everybody gets a fair shake.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. What does that exactly mean?
That means these corporations that are trying to misclassify workers so they don't pay them their fair wage. That means when you have unsafe work site by contractors, holding them accountable. That means when you have wage theft, this happens on work projects all over the state, wage theft. When you talk about corporations trying to stop these young people from organizing unions, all of that stuff. You see what's happening with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette newspaper where they've been on strike for over a year and getting no help. It's standing up for people like that, whether it's wage theft, tax theft, unsafe workplaces, people not allowing you to join a union. That's what it means.
Yeah. No, I mean, you brought up wage theft, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen the numbers out there, is something like 3 or 4 times the cost to people that, the stick up stuff where we walk into a bank or a convenience store where actual what we consider criminal robbery happens. It's multiples. Wage theft is multiples of that kind of crime, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why so many of these companies make their quote-unquote employees 1099 so that they don't have to pay them a wage. They don't have to give them time off. They basically have them over a barrel. And if somebody is an actual employee, we need to make sure they're treated as an employee. We've seen legal actions like this in other parts of the country. That's the type of thing I'm going to do in Pennsylvania as well.
Yeah, and I argue a big part of that also is the abuse of undocumented labor that we see in a number of places that absolutely needs to be, some dealt with in one way or another,
right?
Because we can't have a situation in this state or in this country where people are being exploited and abused, because
right.
it tears us all down.
Everybody loses there. The undocumented worker loses. The Pennsylvania and U.S. taxpayer loses because they're not paying. The employer isn't even paying into their taxes, their unemployment, their workers' comp, all that stuff. And it's also an unfair playing field for whether you're somebody who's an immigrant here legally or an average everyday worker in Pennsylvania, because you're competing against someone who isn't even on the payroll because they're paying them all under the table just because they know they've got them over a barrel.
Yeah. And heaven forbid they get hurt or killed or,
right.
or any of that, then that all gets done away with as well. But I got to be honest with you. I've known you for a long time. We were friends on Facebook. I follow what you do. It looks like you've got a great life off watching beach ball games, running marathons, doing all the. You exercise more in a week than I've probably done my lifetime. you got a great life. Why do you want to do this?
So when I left Auditor General, I jokingly said I was living my best life. I was making more. Like, my dad was incarcerated when I was younger. My brother had muscular dystrophy, and things were up and down financially. But when I left office, I started my own legal practice. I was still teaching at the University of Pittsburgh. Was able to do traveling, doing Pikes Peak with my son on my 50th birthday, doing Ironman races. But I made the decision after the 2022 election, with so much at stake, we all had to do our part. And we all have a different role to play. And this is something I could do. I could be the attorney general. I could win the election. And I could be the type of an attorney general that stood up for people that need someone to fight for them. And so I decided to jump into this. And here we are, 8 days away.
Yeah, no, look, I've got two daughters. And, you know, the abortion issue is important to me, not because I'm in favor of abortion or I'm opposed
right.
to it. I'm on neither side of the extreme. I'm pro-safety.
Right.
I want my daughters, whatever it is they decide, I want them to be safe. I don't want them to have to live in a world where their grandmother lived, which is,
right.
you know, my mother had a friend who got a botched abortion back in the 60s in Kentucky and came back to Ohio where it was illegal. And ended up dying because she had nowhere to go to get care for an infection because of an abortion. And I don't want my daughters to live in that world. So when you say that this is one of your issues, you just not from a pro or an anti position,
right.
just from a pro safety position. I want my daughters to be safe.
Look, I've got a daughter who's a senior at Temple University. I also know what happened to our family, particularly Tracy, when we had to go to the hospital that night when she was bleeding internally. You know, for so many of us individually, this is a tough issue. But so many of people also that have this as a tough issue also recognize it is between a woman and her doctor. And when the government gets in the middle of that, it only makes it worse. And you right now have in multiple states in the United States, women who are facing complications of her pregnancy, having to flee that state and go to another state, Pennsylvania in particular, where just going from one state to another, just that makes their life more perilous. We should not be having that in the United States.
No, I'm right there with you. And look, my mind again goes how important this position is. And we're getting because of Donald Trump, because of how extreme the Republicans have gotten, we've gotten a life lesson in civics that we're living. And again, I remember election night 2016, a very conservative friend of mine said that, you know, it's going to be interesting watching the left, liberals, progressives, whatever, become states' rights people, because they were going to push all this stuff back to the states and we were going to have all this infighting going on. And we're there where he said we were going to be, which is why, again, we've highlighted how important an attorney general is in a state.
No, there is no question that regardless of who wins the election, and I think it's going to be Harris, but it's going to be close. The states are going to play a critical role in this because of what happened during the first Trump administration and even some of the shenanigans that have happened post Roe being overturned. so many of this now is going to be handled at the state. The attorney general, myself, hopefully, if I am that, are really going to be the defender of the people in those individual states.
Absolutely. But the question I wanted to get to is, and the reason I brought up the federal side of this is, you see a lot of attorneys generals coming together and grouping and, you know, filing lawsuits against the federal government for things that they're doing to impose on individuals or on states. I think that's an important issue. Can you speak to how important you think that is?
The attorney general behind, other than the governor, is going to be the most important official in every state in the union, whether it's on the extreme right or someone like myself who's going to be out there to defend the rule of law and protect Pennsylvanians no matter who they are. But you take like a state like Texas, that guy is making the whole state less safe by the actions of that individual. In Pennsylvania, we have a different path, and that's someone who will make the state more safe, certainly if I'm the attorney general. It is critical that we have someone that's looking out for every Pennsylvanian and not on some ideological warpath.
Yeah, I think Josh Shapiro was a very good attorney general. Right. I thought he did some very good things. I would like to have seen more done, and that mantle should be picked up and move forward.
Right.
I'm hoping for someone like you to do that. What do you think? What didn't Shapiro do that you want to move forward on? Because he was very good on worker issues, as you pointed out. I was very happy with that. What do you think he should have done more of?
Look, I think the Dobbs decision sort of fell a little late towards his administration and attorney general. So I think certainly having now a partner with him as governor, protecting women's rights in the state, and for anyone that's coming here, I think that is going to be important. But I think we also have to make sure that we are doing a better job of protecting our democracy. Not that they did anything wrong. He won a lot of those lawsuits. But we've got to make sure that the actual voters in this state understand the process more. How to vote by mail. How to use the vote by mail process so they can actually vote in person before Election Day. And making sure that we have safe, secure voting sites all over the state. I think that's important.
No, absolutely. And again, it's sad that we have to talk about, you know, how we protect the sanctity of the ballot box, when I think we all agree that it should be the center of our democracy. But it's just interesting where we are. So last line of question I've got for you: when you're given that consensual baby kissing and palm flat, you know, handshaking and all that, what's the message? Why Eugene?
I tell people I've got a record of protecting Pennsylvanians. I've got a record of being tough and fair no matter who someone is. And I've got a record of taking on tough fights and holding bad people accountable. And that's exactly what I'm going to do as Attorney General.
Yeah, and look, as I said, I've known you for a long time. You're a straight shooter. You're a good guy. A little more moderate than maybe I am. But honest, hardworking, dedicated. Someone that I am going to most certainly be casting my vote for. Eugene DePasquale, I appreciate the time. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me, brother. Really appreciate it.
As always, good stuff there. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. You want to find out more about Eugene, go to his website, DePasquale4AG.com. We'll get links out on social media. Gonna take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1986. That was the day that Edward Meese gave a speech to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Meese was serving as Attorney General under President Ronald Reagan. During his speech, Meese encouraged bosses to spy on their employees in order to determine if they were using drugs. He said management also has to take responsibility for surveillance of problem areas such as locker rooms, parking lots, shipping and mail room areas, and even the nearby taverns if necessary, as part of controlling this problem. He also advocated for drug testing of employees. Ronald Reagan had declared what he termed the war on drugs in 1982. Meese was outlining a plan to make the workplace a battlefront of that war. During his speech, he said, "The workplace is the strategic pass-through which almost all Americans move. Consequently, the workplace can be a choke point on this use or misuse of illegal drugs." After the speech, a spokesman for Meese assured the press that the Attorney General was not advocating for bosses to infringe on the civil liberties of their employees. Many workers and unions have disagreed with that assessment. Since 1987, drug testing by employers has risen more than 250%. In 1987, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that drug testing was a mandatory subject of bargaining. By all accounts, Reagan's war on drugs had little success in stopping drug use. In 2005, 82% of polled police and sheriffs called the war a failure. However, the war on drugs has handed a resounding victory to corporate special interests like drug testing companies and privatized prisons. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I like Eugene a lot. I like DePasquale an awful lot, especially when he was a state rep, a guy who was out there fighting for working people. So we'll see. I'm hopeful for him here in Pennsylvania because, look, the attorney general's position are really, really important. The state's attorney generals are extraordinarily important in protecting and enforcing labor laws. They play a crucial role in making sure that wage theft isn't rampant, overtime theft isn't rampant, workplaces are safe. That's a pretty big deal. They're also out there to stop exploitation of workers, help protect against, you know, like I said, wage theft and unfair practices and the misuse of undocumented workers, which hurts not just the undocumented, but everybody else by tearing down conditions. So having a strong worker-centric attorney general, kind of a big deal in my view, kind of important in that, look, we need people who are going to advocate like these attorneys general do for workers' rights, stronger workers' rights, pushing for legislation for to ensure that benefits employees, you know, good stuff. But also outside of the worker frame is the consumer protections. You know, in a lot of states across this country, these are the folks who oversee protections for consumers. Ultimately, you could go those impact workers, certainly. But the idea of fair treatment in the marketplace, preventing deception by employers, by retailers, kind of a big deal. Also, they support whistleblowers. I understand, you know, sometimes you need to come out and you need to speak up, and to have someone who's going to support and actually use the support and the legislation to protect whistleblowers who report illegal, unethical behavior in the workplace, big kind of deal. The other thing that they do, litigation against corporate America. They can initiate lawsuits against corporations who violate, you know, environmental, labor. You know, go down the list, unfair business practices, all of that stuff. There's a lot that they can do, and I guess we haven't really thought of that because the machine just worked. And understand, you know, there's education, there's outreach, there's preventative stuff. Like, for instance, you know, educating workers about their rights. That alone stops employers from doing bad things. And I argue all the time, an educated, active, engaged worker saves companies an awful lot. Because maybe they're not going to do the dumb thing to begin with. But also the attorney general addresses discrimination and they have an economic impact. If you have fair competition, if you have healthy competition, you have a healthy economy. And for me, that's the positive. And you look at some of the things that attorneys generals have done. New York, for instance, the attorney general there challenged the Department of Labor when they wanted to change the overtime regulations. They advocated for broader protections for workers as opposed to lesser. So when Trump came in and said, well, we're going to cut back on that overtime, the attorney general said, no, we're going to file a lawsuit against this. We're going to stop you. And we see this. Massachusetts, for instance, when they filed, I think it was 2017, when they filed a lawsuit against Uber because they misclassified their drivers as independent contractors. They were out there saying, hey, we want to make sure these workers get better protections, better wages, better benefits, you know, even for gig economy workers. And you can point out a bunch of, I mean, Connecticut, big freaking case out of Connecticut. The attorney general there filed the lawsuit against Purdue Pharmaceuticals because of its abuses of opioids and prescriptions and how they, what was the line that we learned? We want opioids. We want the Oxy, I believe it was, to sell like Doritos. And they were out there doing that. They were out there pimping this stuff like it, well, quite frankly, like it were Doritos. And lots of people, thousands and thousands of people died. In fact, you know, unfortunately, I know people who have had relatives who died because of the addiction that was pushed by this group. And look, you had an attorney general out there fighting to protect people. You go to, again, New York, fighting the Department of Labor again. If you remember what the federal government wanted to do again, weaken protections for vulnerable workers. They wanted to weaken, deregulate. And they argued that, maybe we should have stronger labor standards to protect people in the workplace. Maybe, with more than 5,000 people a year dying on the job, maybe we can do better. And you go down the list of these positions who have stood up for us in times of need that individually, you, me, us, we're never going to be able to do. Understand, you're not going to beat corporate America on your own. And this is why corporate America hates government so much. The only entity that can stand up to corporate America is government. And we the people do that through our government. Individually, you're not taking on ExxonMobil. You're not. But the state of New Jersey, their attorney general filed a case against ExxonMobil for environmental contamination because of the health risks to workers and people in the community and moved it forward. Individually, good luck on that. So you need to have people in these positions who care about average, everyday working people, who aren't going to be the puppets of corporate America, who are actually going to go out there like California's attorney general in 2005 sued Oracle because they were gutting a whole bunch of job opportunities when it acquired this PeopleSoft group. It impacted thousands of employees. You had an attorney general going, hey, that's wrong. We need to stand up and fight what is wrong. And again, that's why these positions that we hadn't heard of before, that most people didn't really care about, didn't really understand. Trump how's the best way of putting this? As horrible as Trump has been, as bad as he was as president, as horrible as January 6th and all of the debacle around the election and all of the allegations of fraud and abuse and theft, as bad as that was, the learning opportunity that came out of that, the civics lesson that has come out of that, is people are now starting to pay attention to these other offices, to these other places where kind of important to have a worker-centric attorney general. Kind of important to have someone who's not on the corporate payroll, so to speak. So for me, in these moments, it's these folks who are going to protect us, not just our wages, our benefits, our jobs, our safety here at home, but our democracy. And as I said about Eugene, the reason I like him is, he's a straight shooter. This is a guy who as straight-laced as you're going to get. Sometimes you can be angry with him, but he's right on the issue. So for me, this is one of those positions that we should really care about, really investigate who we're going to cast our vote, and not just where I'm at in Pennsylvania, but all across this country. Because, understand, the top law enforcement guy in the state, you kind of want to have on the side of the people. Just kind of a thought. I want to hear yours. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Do you think attorneys general are that's an important gig? Do you think we should want people who know what it's like to be a working person? I want to hear your thoughts. rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, podcast, freespeech.org for the video. And as always, Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.